Welcome to Between the Lines, where we journey beyond the surface of Scripture with hosts David and Jonathan. Get ready to deepen your faith as we uncover the hidden gems of the Bible. Without further ado, here's our show.
Here with David and Jonathan on Between the Lines, WBFF 97.7, and immersed in the amazing book of Jeremiah. Isaiah and Jeremiah are incredible reads. History, prophecy, future events, everything is in here. And it's a lot of the similar stuff. Prophets come around telling God's word and the people hate it, want them dead. And that shows you the condition of the nation of Israel at this time, just prior to being carried off into Babylon, because they have totally turned their backs on God. Like a similar situation that America is in right now. You wonder why our nation is in such turmoil. Our cities are just bound by evil and crime and murder. It's because we have turned our back on God, and judgment is coming. And last episode, Jeremiah came and gave once again. He's been doing this for months and years now. It's coming. Now he said it's coming so bad as the likes have never been seen. And he also said the pastors that have been leading the priest and the path, he used the word pastor because I do believe, because normally they use the word priest at this time. I do believe that is a connotation to modern times. And he's getting ready to say it again here in chapter 3. Gives a warning to the pastors. A guy, I'm going to personally visit you, God says, for what you've done, leading my sheep astray. And it's not going to be a pretty sight when it happens. Chapter 23, book of Jeremiah. Woe be unto the pastors. There it is again. That destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture, saith the Lord. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, against the pastors that feed my people. Ye have scattered my flock and driven them away, and have not visited them. Behold, I will visit upon you the evil of your doing, saith the Lord. Some chapters back, God equated a pastor not doing his job correctly as a murderer and a thief, and he said he will be punished in the same way. Wow, false pastor, you didn't know that your punishment was going to be such, did you? God looks upon your job as the most important job in the land, shepherding his children. Make sure you've read this book. If you're a pastor and you're going up to that pulpit and you've not read this book in its entirety at least 30 or 40 times, you have no business being up there. You know, you need to read it hundreds of times. Not just passages, the entire book. The more you read the book, the more God will open you up to the messages inside it, the spiritual messages, not just what's in black and white. You got to read the book. You got to devour the book. And I tell you, you go up to that pulpit with limited information and try to lead a flock, you are going to be punished if you lead them astray. Oh, well, I my heart was right. Your heart might have been right, but you took the position with insufficient information and insufficient guidance, and God put the words right here in front of you. And even a couple chapters back, he said, I'll even punish those who sit under the false pastor, because you had the book right here available to read for yourself to prove him. You should come home and prove everything you hear in church out of the book itself. If it doesn't jive with what's in the book, you need to take a careful look at what church you're in and what pastor you're sitting under. Verse 3, and I will gather the remnant of my flock out of all countries whither I have driven them, and will bring them again to their folds, and they shall be fruitful and increase. And this use of the word pastor, I tell you right there, just opened itself up, is correct, because he's talking about modern times here. He says, I'm going to gather the remnant of my flock from all the nations where I've scattered them. And he did that in 70 AD when the Romans came in. And the Jews had been scattered. And we talked about this a lot recently, how for the last 2,000 years, they kept their identity, which is unheard of. People who assimilate into other nations normally become like those who are in the other nations. But the Jews have kept their identity for 2,000 years. And in 1947, God brought them back together. And that's what he says here in 3. And I will gather the remnant of my flock out of all countries whither I have driven them, and will bring them again to their folds, to the nation of Israel, where they are now, 1947, and they shall be fruitful and increase. And I tell you, can a nation be built in one day? God posed that question a little earlier. Yes, it can, when supernatural forces are involved. No, it cannot when humans try to do it. God made the nation of Israel in one day in 1947. And he says, I'm calling them all back together. And they have been very fruitful. Although the entire world has condemned them, has come about them in many wars. And you have to look at the Six Days War. I mean, the winning side, the Israeli Defense Forces, totally outnumbered. I mean, like 10 to 1 in aircraft, in tanks, in men. And they came out of this with an absolute victory. They totally wiped out the air forces of Jordan and Egypt and Syria. They totally wiped out the ground forces of Egypt, Syria, and Jordan. And if you look at the casualties on both sides, they're so uneven. Israelis, like, it's like 600 and some men and tens of thousands on the other side. That is supernatural. And that's part of God saying they'll be fruitful and increase. Plus, the economy of Israel is boomed. I mean, they are known for the flowers and the blossoms that they export. Millions every day in a desert environment. It says they'll be fruitful and increase. And I will set up shepherds over them, which shall feed them, and they shall fear no more, nor be dismayed, neither shall they be lacking, saith the Lord. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will raise unto David a righteous branch, and a king shall reign and prosper and shall execute judgment and justice in the earth. Okay, we just went from the days after 1947 to where we are right now, and just a little bit longer when the tribulation starts, to the millennial period. Number 5 takes us into the millennial period. And I told you that about Isaiah and Jeremiah. You got to watch for massive time warps while you're reading. You'll go from a portion here to many years later to thousands of years later. We just made what I will say will be a maybe 10 to 15 year jump there. I'm that certain we are on the precipice of the tribulation period, and 7 years after that begins, the millennial time will begin. I'm going to read a 5 again. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will raise unto David a righteous branch, and a king shall reign and prosper and shall execute judgment and justice in the earth. And that is Jesus Christ at his second coming. He will set up the Jewish kingdom during the millennial time and reign for 1,000 years with justice under the law. In his day, Judah shall be saved and Israel shall dwell safely. And this is his name whereby he shall be called the Lord of Righteousness. Refer back to Revelation when he returns on the white horse. There's a name written on his thigh that no man knows, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And here God is saying the Lord our righteousness.
I like the fact that the name he himself knows.
Yeah.
So there's no evil entity known or unknown that can bind him in any kind of spell binding
by the
because
name
they don't
is how
know
they
his
do
name.
It. Yeah, that's interesting. I've never thought about it like that.
That's so neat.
Yeah. Therefore, behold, and this is why Christ always asks, what is your name?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes, sir.
He's confronting a demon.
Yes, sir.
Therefore, behold, the days come, saith the Lord. They shall no more say, the Lord liveth, which brought up the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt. But the Lord liveth, which brought up and which led the seed of the house of Israel out of the north country, and from all the countries whither I had driven them. They shall dwell in their own land. And we've seen this over and over in the Old Testament, how they reference God by the God that brought them out of Egypt. He said, that will no longer be the reference to me. It'll be the God that brought them from evil and from tragedy into the millennial time, into the great wonderful kingdom that he had promised them from the beginning. Mine heart within me is broken because of the prophets. All my bones shake. I am like a drunken man and like a man whom wine hath overcome because of the Lord and because of the words of his holiness. Jeremiah is saying there, this is almost too much for me to digest. Wow. Can you imagine a prophet being told all these things? Can you imagine John seeing the vision of the entire tribulation period into the millennial period? It has to be absolutely overwhelming, and that's what Jeremiah is saying here. For the hand is full of adulterers, for because of swearing the land mourneth, the pleasant places of the wilderness are dried up, and their course is evil, and their force is not right. Now, to all you sex police pastors out there, this is not talking about adulterers running rampant, and I'm sure there's plenty of those also. This is worshiping of other gods. The land is full of people who do not worship God. They worship others. Mm-hmm. For because of swearing, the land mourneth. And they're swearing by other gods, not by God. Oh, should never swear by God. God says, you can swear by me, but you make sure it is absolutely truth that you're swearing by. The pleasant places of the wilderness are dried up, and their course is evil, and their force is not right. And we have seen many times it matters the consciousness of the nation. Are you following after God? If you're not, the land will dry up. The land will not increase. The land will not provide for you. And that's what he's saying here. For both prophet and priest are profane. Yay! In my house have I found their wickedness, saith the Lord. And we've seen that over and over again, how the Levitical line went off the tracks very early, and God actually divorced them. Said, you have nothing else to do with these wicked priests. They serve the God of this world, not me. And we've seen how they went into preaching for profit right away, preaching for flesh, preaching for power, preaching for authority. It was not preaching to keep the flock in line. It was not giving substance the milk that the flock needed. They began to start. It all started back with Phineas. It all came to be where the pulpit was no longer a place to feed the flock. It was a place to feed the preacher. Wherefore, their ways shall be unto them as slippery ways in the darkness. They shall be driven on and fall therein. For I will bring evil upon them, even the year of their visitation, saith the Lord. I'm going to visit them personally. You know, the rest of the bad folks in the land, they can die by the sword in a big group, but I'm going to visit these fellows who have preached for profit personally. And I've seen folly in the prophets of Samaria. They prophesy in Baal and caused my people Israel to err. Yes, you call yourself a prophet. You better be wired directly to the God of heaven. You better be getting your prophecies from the God of heaven. If you just like that name and you just like to, you know, shake every once in a while when your little group is around and spit out some words that have come into your mind, you better be careful. God says, I'm going to visit those who do that also. I've seen also in the prophets of Jerusalem an horrible thing. They commit adultery and walk in lies. There again, that's not sex. That is becoming familiar with other gods, becoming familiar with idols, becoming familiar with evil spirits. And there are all types of evil spirits that walk this earth. There are evil spirits, there are demons, there are familiar spirits, there are principalities, and these folks are communing with them. And walk in lies, they strengthen also the hands of the evildoers, that none doth return from his wickedness. They are all of them unto me as Sodom, and the inhabitants thereof as Gomorrah. And if you have a cult leader or a false preacher, a lot of times he has his prophet behind him. And we'll see that when the Antichrist comes up, he will have his holy man prophet with him who strengthens him. And that's what God says. These are not holy men, but they have unholy demons standing behind them, strengthening them, assuring them that what they're doing is correct, and giving them prophetic advice from other evil entities.
Oh, yes. Just like any $5 psychic that you go to have your palm read.
Absolutely. They're gonna tell you your fortune.
Yep.
And right outside is an old abandoned car that sits on their driveway. Obviously, yeah. They can't tell their own fortunes.
Tires flat.
Yeah. Come in, I'll give you financial advice.
This is going to work like gangbusters.
Yes. Therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts concerning the prophets, behold, I will feed them of wormwood. Ah, that's deadly. Do you know that? And make them drink the water of gall. For the prophets of Jerusalem is profaneness gone forth into all the land. Be careful, pastors. This entire chapter of 23 is focused on modern day pastors. That's why you use the name pastor. You better be careful what comes out of your pulpit, what comes out of your mouth when you're addressing the flock. You're there to give out milk and then also meat to those who can accept it. But if you're giving out a feel-good doctrine, you're giving out this wealth doctrine, you better be careful.
And, another reference to it being today's time, literally says, I will feed them with wormwood. Wormwood
yes.
is written in the Revelations of being a star that's falling.
It is, and pollutes the waters. Yeah. Yes, makes them bitter, poisonous. Yeah. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, hearken not unto the words of the prophets that prophesy unto you. They make you vain. Huh? Yes, you can be wealthy. All you have to do is send in this seed offering, and God will bless your finances. And I'll also send you this sweat-dipped handkerchief that I wipe my brow with during one of my sermons, and it will heal any pimples that you rub it on. I'm quite certain of that. Mm-hmm. They speak a vision of their own heart and not out of the mouth of the Lord. And I seen one the other day. His name escapes me again. But he says, you all can be gods. God has made it possible for you all to be gods. That is blasphemous. God says, I make it possible for you to be sons of God.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But I'll say that sentence itself sounds like the original sentence from the garden.
Yeah, it is. You're exactly right.
Oh, no. You ain't going to die. You'll be like them.
Yeah, I'm picturing that fellow in my head. He's a televangelist. Got 6 airplanes. I just can't. I can't bring his name out at the moment. Not necessary. Apparently God doesn't want me to speak it.
Gotcha.
They say, still unto them that despise me, the Lord hath said, ye shall have peace. Ah. And they say unto everyone that walketh after the imagination of his own heart, no evil shall come upon you. Feel good doctrine.
Mm-hmm.
This you'll be will have peace in your life. And no evil shall come upon you. Joel Osteen speaks like that.
Mm-hmm.
Just be a good person and treat your neighbor with dignity, and everything will be good. God will bless you. For who has stood in the counsel of the Lord and hath perceived and heard his word? Who hath marked his word and heard it? Who has looked at what I ask of you? God says, behold, a whirlwind of the Lord hath gone forth in fury, even a grievous whirlwind. It shall fall grievously upon the head of the wicked, those who do not follow me, and especially the pastors who have led them astray. The anger of the Lord shall not return until he have executed, until he have performed the thoughts of his heart. Yes, and the thoughts of God's heart are righteous.
Yep.
And apparently not feel good,
right?
Because he's going to go out here and execute some judgment. In the latter days, yes, that's where we are. Jeremiah 23 is addressing the latter day pastors. Don't ever let anyone tell you the Old Testament does not execute toward modern times, because it does. There's not a passage in here you cannot equate to your Christian everyday walk, and apparently to the walk of the pastors during the latter day times.
We'll be back with more spiritual insights on Between the Lines after a brief message from our sponsors. Stay tuned.